Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape on your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
Ephesians chapter 3. Glory be to God in the highest. So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 reads, "Now to him," Paul was writing, he says, "to the our Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above," hallelujah, "all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." 21, "to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, we give him praise, we give him honor. And why did I read this? To let you know that there's always a provision for supernatural ability. There's always a provision as far as we are concerned. So for us to understand this and the dimension that the Spirit is taking me today, I want you to just look at the life of Jesus. So supernatural power available. And like we began to talk on, discuss on Friday, you discover that, before then, let me just quickly take you to 1 John 3:8. Let me take that, then I can, if you're there, say amen. I'll read from verse 7, as a matter of fact. Say, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous." I hope you understand that this is the New Testament. "He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins," that is, practices sin, "is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning." Now, this is why I'm reading this place. "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." What purpose? "That he might destroy," everybody say it, "destroy what? The works of the devil." Hallelujah. And so let me just quickly stress that part again. What you practice tells us your nature. What you practice, that is what you find to do with ease. What you do uninhibited. So if you practice righteousness uninhibited, you are righteous. That's what he says. But if you see one who is practicing sins with impunity, he's of the devil. And without judging, I'm just saying it the way it is from the Bible. Those who are yet to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, they belong to the other side, no matter how wonderful they are. You see why? Because they don't have the power to resist sin. And that's what makes it more interesting for us. You see what makes it interesting for us? When we sin, it's a matter of choice. When they sin, it's not a matter of choice, it's who they are. So when we sin, we are not children of the devil, we are children of God. So we feel most uncomfortable. When they sin, as a matter of fact, it's a feather on their cap. They rejoice, it's victory for them. And that's why we are not the same. That's not to say that we don't fall into sin. But when we do, we're expected to repent and is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because it's not our nature. We feel most uncomfortable being there. So we quickly get up and look for, come on, God, deliver me. I have to be it takes you out. And the moment you repent and he forgives you and he cleanses from unrighteousness, then you are no more condemned. In fact, you were never condemned in the first place. It's the devil that came with condemnation because he sets off the temptation. You fell into the trap, and it's the same one that is coming to accuse you. That's what he does. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. So you want to prevent him from the ability, from his ability to accuse you, then as much as you can, by the grace of God, avoid what you give him the opportunity. So having repented, there is therefore now no condemnation. But let me promise you, the devil will still come and say, you filthy thing. Though you've already repented, God has cleansed you, you are free. He will still try to make you feel like. And that's why you don't want to play with what belongs to the devil. You understand what I'm saying? We're being real, aren't we? Praise God. But you see where I'm going there, particularly verse 8. Say, for this purpose, what purpose? Is the Son of God revealed? How? That he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? What? Getting us to do what is contrary to the will of the Father. And then stand out to accuse us the rest of us. Wicked devil. Wicked. Wicked. So, now we know why he came. Who? Jesus. Why did he come? Destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? Hindering man from becoming all that God has made him to be. So the assignment of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth to destroy the works of the devil, liberate man, that man can walk in the fullness of his own assignment, exercising dominion on earth, glorifying God on earth. Glory be to God in the highest. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Praise God. Hallelujah. The birth of Jesus. The only reason he manifested this realm, that is, he was born, conceived and born, and lived here for about 33 years or 34 years, for one purpose. Destroy the works of the devil, liberate man, put man back in the position of authority, for which God has created him. Now, if Jesus had achieved everything on earth but that, is a failure. Let me say it again. If he had achieved every other thing on earth but that, is a failure. If I achieve everything on earth but that for which I was born, created of God, then I'm a failure. I can be inspired by people in their own areas of assignment, but it is to fulfill my assignment. And the amazing thing is that no two assignments are exactly the same. But follow me closely. I want you to see how. So manifesting here, to be born here, see what happened. Conception was by the Holy Spirit. And the first lesson I draw from this is this. If I'm going to fulfill God's mandate here on earth, I must be born of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we use the word glibly, born again. If I'm going to fulfill the mandate for which he created me, I must be born of the Holy Ghost. Pastor, what about the many unbelievers that never got to know Christ? Hey, why should I bother myself so much with that? His sovereignty will get men to do certain things. But by and large, is it not what you do in Christ that will last forever? Haven't you read that in him all things consist? Haven't you read that all things were made by him and without him was nothing made that was made? Haven't you read that for his pleasures they are and were created? Haven't you read that at the end of it, he will gather all things unto himself and that will be the collapse of everything? And he himself will now submit himself back unto God. Haven't you read it? You see, it will be good if we don't have this knowledge. But if you have this knowledge, then why don't you begin to apply it? Because it will physically manifest in your life. That's what I'm saying, talking about. Hallelujah. So how did he come to be? The Bible said that the angel approached Mary. Come on. And Mary was an ordinary woman like anybody. I know that the Catholic Church will want to argue with me, but believe me, she was ordinary. So why are you so sure of the Bible? Because, pastor rather, because the Bible says it. Or did you read in the Bible that Mary never committed a sin? Show me. And so the concept of immaculate conception does not exist. But the concept of virgin conception, yes. Never met a man, yes. Okay, fine. If she was like any other man, then why not a man? Because if a man will conceive her, or rather will pregnate her, then the man that you are going to give birth will be like the father, sin. So a sinful man cannot deliver a sinful man. To take the blood of the lamb, the unblemished lamb of God, the seed of the woman. And that's why I said it will be the second, of course, and who will be the last Adam. There's no another one coming. The first one came and we missed it. The second one came and restored things. God sealed it. The second one, of course, is the last one, and that's Jesus Christ. And God himself prophesied it in the Garden of Eden as the restoration that is coming. That was coming. Praise the Lord. But see, where I'm going is this, that for him to do what God has called him to do, he was born of the Spirit. How will it be, since I know no man? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. All right. And the Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you. Wow. And so the holy thing that, I feel the fire right in my system. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So what does it mean to be born again? John chapter 3. Shall man enter into his mother's womb again? He said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, the wind blows where it wants and no one knows where. Hello, is somebody hearing me? And so it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, I feel the fire. The Holy Ghost started him off. And then we didn't hear so much about him. We saw glimpses of him. I think 40 days, he was brought into the temple. There was commotion in the physical. Suddenly, Simeon came in and started to prophesy. The moment this, then Anna came in. And you remember, see how we dedicate. And suddenly, they target one child and begin to prophesy. Holy Ghost. Then the next we saw was age 12. And at that time, some strange things happened too. Hello, church, are you here with me? They forgot him. His parents forgot him. But I want you to remember that at this point, by God's grace, he had siblings. I don't know how many. So they probably were busy with the other ones who were more rascally. You know, children can be very, pranky. And then they forgot. But they didn't forget for just one night. They forgot for 2 days. Huh? And when they came looking for him, they met him in the temple. Strange. He hadn't gone. He was there with the leaders and the teachers, and they were disputing the word of God, and they were marveling at what he was being said, and took him. Strange. We didn't hear of him again until age 30. When he appeared, follow me, church, he appeared where John was baptizing. Praise the Lord. Jesus was an adopted son, as far as our realm is concerned. So if God is asking to adopt, and the question I ask myself is this: what if God had met you then and said, please, can you take care of my son? And you had rejected. Okay, that's right away. So we saw him at age 30. And John was baptizing. And John said, No, I know you. Jesus said, I know you do. So when I hear for baptize me, why will you be baptized? Because I'm demonstrating to them how to gain back what was lost. You repent, baptized, then you live and walk by the Holy Spirit. But he never committed a sin, but he still came on the line like sinners would and baptized. What is baptism? Say, when we are baptized, when we are under the water, buried with him. He is the one that will die and resurrect, and he's coming to do what we should do. He was just demonstrating the way to us. That's why one other way we call him is the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, and he is the way. And those who really understand, say, those people of the way, we are the ones. Meet the difficultest man on earth and let him start talking to him and get to say that, well, I belong to the way. He will look at you quizzically. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says, as he was lowered, he was praying. Come on, church. Can we overpray? As he was lowered and bringing brought out of the water, he was praying. God, teach me and help me by your spirit to pray. The Bible says the heavens opened. Come on, church, are you here with me? And what happened in a bodily form, in a way that human eyes will perceive, the Holy Ghost descended like a dove upon him. Follow me closely. What was responsible for his conception? The Holy Spirit. What came upon him here? The Holy Spirit. And then God spoke from heaven. You know what he says in the book of Luke, chapter 3? You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. An affirmation. Unusual. How did he do it? Holy Ghost. Whew. And what does that say? You are my son. In the first place, Holy Spirit conceived you. You are my son. And now you want to face your assignment. Whew. You are my son. The reason for which you are created. Then the Bible says, come on, what next? He returned. Hallelujah. He began the ministry about age 30, being the son of Joseph, son of Eli. Chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan. That's what I expected to see, actually. And was, help me, church, is he back? Returned from Jordan, where the Spirit came upon him. And what happened thereafter? Come on, talk to me. Come quick. Was led by the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, his conception was a supernatural ability. It wasn't natural. Now his life is now supernatural. Can I put it to you that if you're born again, your life is a supernatural one? But you've got to know. That's what I'm saying. So he was led by the Spirit. Where? Into the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Led of the Holy Ghost. And then when he was tempted, the Holy Ghost was with him. Glory be to God in the highest. And then he overcame. Glory be to God. And then by the time he finished. Now, 14. Then Jesus returned in the power. Come on, help me, church. He returned in the power of? I can hear you. He came out of the water. He was led off. The Spirit. And now returning from temptation, he returned how? In the power of the Spirit. Now tell me one thing that he did from conception till now that wasn't the Spirit. At least as recorded from this Bible. So he returned in the power of the Spirit. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Come on, church. I hope you are following me. They gave him the whole of the book of Isaiah. In those days, it wasn't like this. It was cruel. They roll it this way on the road and roll it this way on the road. They carry it like that to the stage or to the front. And then they handed it over to him. He rolled it to the place. Where did he roll it to? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm talking supernatural ability now. He knew who he was. He knew what he carried. He knew what he had. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has what? Anointed me. Come on, church, are you here with me? He has anointed me to do what? The rest is describing his assignment on earth. If it was me at that time, I'll probably include the Spirit of the Lord upon me because he has anointed me to marry. Oh yeah. He has anointed me to father. He has anointed me to pastor. Because there's nothing you leave out of this realm. Okay. Otherwise, we will talk spiritual ability 2-3 months and yet, no. May not leave you where it met you. In the name of Jesus, it must manifest in your life. I know what I'm talking about. Glory be to God in the highest. If it were to be some of us now, because depending on the place of our assignment, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to be in government. He's anointed me to be maybe a minister. I'm believing by the time you finish your work as a minister, Nigeria will never forget you. Amen. No, I'm not joking. It's about assignment. What do you know you are here for? For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And everywhere, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you here with me? And so you see, in Luke 4:18, he declared it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to accomplish this purpose. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, you hear Luke reporting what his life was like. And what did he say? How God what? Come on, help me. Anointed who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. With who? With the Holy Ghost. And with who? And with what? Power. And what happened? He went about doing what? Come on, help me. He went about doing what? Come on, he went about what? Define the good. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? God was with him. You get what I'm saying? God was with him. So why would he fail in his assignment? Well, let me put it to you. Because just hearing, seeing this way, it's easy to assume that he went there. Something happened. No, what he was saying is this. Anywhere, at any time, anywhere you found him, the presence, any work of the devil was in trouble. Did you get me? So in his natural realm, he probably would be in the restaurant to eat. The devils are in trouble. There'll be deliverance, there'll be healing. Amen. Oh, yes. When he was in the boat, crossing the sea, the storm came. The work of the devil. The boat could not sink. When he told them to cross, and they went to the mountain to pray, because he ordered it and the wind came, he came walking on the sea in the storm. Hear me. These are all supernatural and they are not limited to him now, then, yes, because he was still demonstrating. But he will come to a point like we find in John chapter 14. I will locate you appropriately in my father's house, and you will do what I'm doing. The same thing, the same way. I'm just trying to tell someone that relax, you will fulfill your mandate plus extra In the name of Jesus, let that fear vanish. In the name of Jesus. Because now you know that you know that you know that you are not ordinary anymore. Hey, Marcus Tombronesh Tepanamba. Hey, you are born again of the Spirit, by the Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ dwells inside of you. I say your boat can never sink. In the name of Jesus, the boat of your life, the boat of your assignment will never sink in Jesus' name. No, but that's the truth. When you walked into a place and everywhere they were mourning, hey, it changed the atmosphere. It changed the situation. When the cripple saw him, they started running. Why? His assignment destroyed the works of the devil. The blind saw him, they saw. His assignment destroyed the works of the devil. But how did he get into his assignment? And he became such a master of his assignment. The Holy Ghost! Who himself is made available to us today. You see my confidence, ladies and gentlemen, concerning your life, concerning my life. Let the devil somersault 10 times. Amen. In the name of Jesus. By virtue of your knowledge of who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus, you will finish well.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you will finish well.
Amen.
I say you will finish well.
Amen.
You will finish well.
Amen.
You will finish well. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God in the highest. So now you can begin to understand why you hear me declare. See, the devil made a mistake, and he will forever make mistakes concerning you, of allowing you to come into our own gathering today. Because believe you me, no matter how horrible it has been, something has shifted ground. In the name of Jesus. You say, why? Because the Bible says that when he turns to Christ, the veil is removed. Jesus himself is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's what I'm talking about. Anywhere he went, his Spirit is there. And the Spirit will destroy any yoke.
Amen.
And the interesting thing is that you carry that Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God in the highest. Remember the Bible said that he was in a home. And he was teaching. Luke 5:17. And the power of God was present. Why would Jesus be somewhere and there be no power? The power of God was present to what? To heal. And remember, the multitude was there. But did he heal the multitude? Did you really heal the multitude? Four friends that were there, they said, no, we can't discern the power of God here. They ran to bring their paralytic friend. He walked. So as available as this power is, it takes faith to access it. You've got to believe him when he says, you are my son. Remember what he says in John chapter 1? He came, though he created the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he has given what? The power. Come on. What? The power. Again, what? The power to be what? Sons. Are there sons of God on earth today? Yes. Those in whom the Spirit of God dwells, you are sons of God. Whether you are a man or a woman, you are sons of God. And if that be the case, and you are anointed, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you have no excuse. You have what it takes to be all that God wants you to be. Let the dream or the fear of failure go. In the name of Jesus, let it go. In the name of Jesus. Begin to know who you are. And don't forget, he declared, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So it is not religious to be quiet. There's a place for silent prayers. But there's a place for declaration of who you are. If God openly declared who Jesus was on earth, and Jesus himself declared, God declared, amen, head, you are my son. And he demonstrated with the anointing coming on. I'm well pleased with you. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can't you see that? Could that be the missing link in your life? Don't think it's time to open your mouth and declare, shout in the corner of your bedroom. When Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, all the inmates heard, and everyone that heard was delivered. I'm sure tonight some things will be set free in your life forever. In the name of, I feel the fire. In the name of Jesus. There have been times I'm screaming to myself in the room. The Spirit of God is upon me. Hallelujah. I'm head, I'm not head, above only. In him was life. The life was the light of men. I am the light of the world. The light shines in the dark. No darkness can overcome it. Hallelujah. The question I want to ask is this. When Paul was being taken to the prison in Rome, have you seen that I just narrowed this huge ministry of the Savior to a person and assignment so that you can locate yourself? Yeah? If you do it the same. Or why will he say, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, which is the Spirit of God? Why will he say, wait until you are endued with power in Luke 24? Because there is no fulfilling this assignment satisfactorily like heaven wants it, except the Holy Ghost. Now you will receive power.
Yes.
After the Holy Ghost has what? That's supernatural. And that's why people will assess you and say intellectually you don't have what it takes. They will assess you. They say materially you don't have what it takes. They will assess you. They say by virtue of exposure you don't have what it takes. But then you will excel. And you so excel that more everybody will quiver. That's not to encourage laziness, because it's because you want to that the Holy Ghost, what you don't want to do, the Holy Ghost will not do with you. He's the helper. That means that you want to, but you don't have what it takes to get there. He will help you get there.
Amen.
When he helps you get there, you get there excellently.
Amen.
But what if you don't want to do it? He doesn't do what you don't want to do. That's what people don't understand. He's helper. You want your children to be bigger than you? That's a good one. He will help you. Uh-huh. But when you are competing with your children, he'll be looking at you. So much you. Any problem? And we're saying, can somebody come defy the person to the Bible? Let him read now. Let read. And read the Bible. Read the Bible. So when you see, say, hey! He said, now I can help you. You want to do it? Let me ask you a question before I conclude. What are you trying to carry in life that you can carry? As long as it's part of your assignment, he will help you carry it. And he will help you. In the name of Jesus. What I just said in Yoruba is that, you know, in those days you have to carry your stuff. Sometimes you look for, even when it's too big, you look for somebody to help you. Say, no, you would not, you will never lack help. And you will not carry it and now begin. No, no, no. You will carry your burden with ease. Why? Because he is the burden carrier. Now, see it. He was in prison, being taken to Rome. He knew he could discern, but the professionals didn't. As soon as he set sail, huge storm, Euroclydon. The type that would tear the ship into shreds, which of course happened. It got to a stage that even the wardens, the military men, those in charge of him, thought, so that we don't get into trouble, let's kill them. And then we can report to the authority that when we saw that the ship was going to get wrecked, we killed them. But God intervened. The same people got to a stage that they were scared for their lives. They would dive into the sea. Paul said to the captain, he said, please warn them. Both you and them remain in the ship. Because tonight, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, is standing by my side. And has assured me that no loss of life will be experienced. He said, but please, let me tell you, the ship will go. Wow. But there will be no loss of life. Wow. It's only God. We're talking supernatural ability. The Bible said, some on splinters. How can you touch a splinter and the splinter will keep you afloat until you get to Melita? You will get to your safer ball. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know what he does? He makes heroes of ordinary people. And that's my confidence, like it has been since the beginning of this ministry. Leaders are no problems for him. He raises them like that. And right now he's doing the same. From nowhere. If you're looking for, hey, choosing the foolish things of this world or the weak things, come on, here we are. What if they don't have the requisite education? I say the steps of the good man are ordered. By the time you need it, you acquire it. The natural institution will be begging you to take it. Spirit of God, we welcome you.
We welcome you.
We welcome you. We welcome you.
Almighty God, we welcome you.
You know what Apostle Paul said? He said, when the situation becomes overwhelming, your physical strength cannot do it anymore. Your intellect can't handle it. Then it's beyond the physical realm. He said, at that time, get into the spirit. He said, he that speaks in tongue does not speak, he said, when you speak in tongue, say your understanding is unfruitful. How be it in the spirit? You are issuing mysteries unto God. That's what we are talking about. If it's overwhelming, can you just step into the spirit? And how do I do that? How do I pray for what I've prayed and prayed about and I don't get results? How do I pray from where I met consultants and they've tried their best and they told me, look, accept God? How do I pray for this? I've attended all seminars. How do I pray? The next thing is like, okay, give up. No. Because it's beyond my understanding now. So let me get into his realm. God is spirit after all. He knows I'm praying about that situation. But how? I don't know. But he knows. And the Holy Ghost takes hold with me. Now I'm going to do this. You know that there's this thing all your life has been a problem. Or they just started recently and somehow you're getting overwhelmed, man. You're scared. I want you to bring it to the fore and just turn to God in prayers. Pray in the Spirit. Now, before you do that, if you know that you know that you know that this time around is a breakthrough for you, then pray in the Spirit. I'm going to allow you for just 2 minutes. 3 minutes. You are coming back to testify. 3 minutes. Leave it there. Just leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. I said, leave it there. Just leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. I mean it. Open your mouth and pray in the Spirit. You will fulfill your assignment in life in Jesus' name. You will fulfill your mandate in the name of Jesus. I say, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. You will finish well. In the name of Jesus, you will fulfill your mandate in life. In the name of Jesus, like we hear through, we have heard through the prophecy, whatever ground the devil has stolen is hereby restored in the name of Jesus. Whatever years and time he has stolen is restored in the name of Jesus. It is well with you. In Jesus' name.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukoju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.